Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is Aaron O'Brien. Thank you for downloading our show. With me today, I have David Duncan.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, buddy. And next, the always wonderful to hear her voice, Holly Michelle.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Holly. We've missed you. It's been a long time getting from there to here.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But we're not talking about Enterprise this week. We promised you wouldn't at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, we backed off. We're like, nah.
We got to put those spacers in.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get the palate cleansers.
Maybe not a year long, but maybe not every week.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So we decided on the Deep Space Nine episode, The Wire, which is season 2, episode 22, and released May 8th, 1994. Dave, you wanted to talk about brain pain.
No, actually, that was Holly wanted to talk about brain pain.
Holly wanted to talk about brain pain.
Holly concussed herself.
Oh, man. What happened?
So, I have a Honda Ridgeline, and they open two different directions, and my driveway is steep. And I'm just stupid, and I didn't realize I hadn't closed it fully, but my foot slipped, and I looked down at my foot, and as I was looking at my foot, the tailgate came back and bit me.
Ooh.
Ow.
In the face. Well, on the head. But
Did you get a bruise or?
Oh yeah, a huge, huge bump. There's discoloration on my scalp. No bleeding of the brain, which is good.
That's good. Yeah. Always good.
Yeah. I've just been laying low for a couple days. Tried to work the other day, but it was just not a good idea. So this is kind of, at least I can turn away from the computer if my head starts hurting. So
yeah, just don't.
Don't look into the light. Don't go into the light.
I've got glasses on. I've been wearing sunglasses. Like, my TV has been turned down to 0% brightness for the last week. Wow. I've been wearing sunglasses while watching TV. If I watch TV or sitting in the dark.
Well, you really walloped yourself, huh?
I did.
I'm so sorry.
I wanted to do brain injuries.
Yeah, she was looking for like amnesia or something like that. I was like, I don't think there's any good amnesia. We kind of already covered amnesia episodes.
Yeah, just
recently.
Brain trauma.
So this has definitely got brain trauma in it.
Yes, it does.
I guess.
This actually today I was at the Lowe's picking up something. I opened up my back the back hatch of the car and it didn't go all the way up and I just walked right into it. And I hit my head. I didn't hit it that hard, but I was like, God damn it, that really hurt.
Well, I didn't hit my head, but at work I accidentally slammed my finger in the dumpster. That didn't feel good.
Yeah, no,
the dumpster.
I was throwing stuff away. I was trying to prop it open with like this like broken mop thing that we usually prop the dumpster open with, so we don't have to touch it. And it touched me really hard.
I don't know what you do for.
This is not my alcohol job.
Oh, I thought you were like getting rid of old banking files or something like.
Oh yeah, we don't shred those at all. We just dump those full. No. This is the liquor store job where I hurt my finger.
Okay.
I don't touch any actual paper at work except for scrap paper to write things my own notes down on.
Well, let's all save our wounds and busted heads, and let's talk about Garak and his love of Bashir and his. Brain pain.
Brain pain.
All right. So here we go. So we open up the show as Bashir and Garak are on the promenade and they're going to go to get lunch together, which they frequently do. We see during the Deep Space Nine episodes, they pal around once in a while. And they're talking about the book, The Never-Ending Sacrifice. And it was apparently a great classic in Cardassian literature. And Bashir is like,
eh, it's a snooze fest, dude.
Yeah.
Not enough sex in it.
And the restaurant they're trying to patron, it's really packed and they can't get in there, and they forgot
about the replicators.
And Bashir decides that, you know, like, they're like, oh, maybe we'll go someplace else, and they can't decide, and they're still waiting in line. And this is when Garak starts having these, like, just like he
pauses.
brain cramp, and Bashir's like, well, what's going on? Are you all right? Should we go down to the infirmary? And Garak's like, absolutely not.
We'll not go. I don't do doctor's visits on the first
and
date.
He gets kind of frustrated because Bashir definitely wants to check him out in the infirmary, but Garak doesn't want to go. And Garak kind of just walks off and says, I'm not really feeling it.
And somehow Kira's got ears like a hawk because she just runs in from 100 feet away. He's like, what was that about? Like, how did you see this?
That's her only line in this whole episode.
Utterly useless. It's like, oh, she's got to get a paycheck this week. Here, let's see.
Cisco's not in this at all.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Yeah, he is for a second.
He has slightly more lines than Kira does.
That's true. Next, we see. What's that?
A whole extra sentence.
Yeah. So, next scene, we get Bashir's in Dax's quarters, and he's looking at some weird pine cone plant.
It's a suppository.
And the plant's, I guess, not doing so well. And then he figures out that it's a fungus that's living that helps it retain water.
I just love, like, he's just like, may I? And she's like, sure. And then it's like, oh, crap. I wanted her to panic because, like, oh, crap, all the Klingon porn she had up.
Oh, Jesus.
So he
kind of helps her with that plant, but then he kind of like says, I'm just kind of pissed off that Garak, you know, was having his problems with his brain pain and doesn't want me to help him. And she's, you know, Dax is sort of just like, well, you know, you guys aren't actually friends. You just hang out together.
We just do the gay things every now and then.
I know. That's why it gets the brain pain.
It's just like, oh, not enough sex with him. It's like, we got to bring O'Brien in. This is before the O'Brien Bashir romance, though.
Yeah, it's before Bashir and O'Brien fall in love with each other. So it's Garak and
Bashir. Right now, it's Bashir and Garak slash fiction.
Fact. So Bashir obviously is a little put off that Garak's kind of not trusting him or that won't let him, you know, play doctor. And then later on, Bashir hears that Garak and Quark kind of like arguing, talking to each other. And it's like Garak is enlisting Quark to find something for a business proposition. And he's not really sure what it is. So later on, Bashir confronts Quark. What was that about? And he goes, oh, you know, I found this sizing scanner for his tailor shop. So it's just wonderful. And
it measures condoms perfectly to the micron.
Bashir doesn't buy it, but he's just like, okay, whatever. So obviously he's not going to tell him the story. So from there, we get Bashir's, where she talks to Sisko in the infirmary. And
Don't punch the Admiral this time, Sisko.
Don't beat the shit out of the Admirals. But
punching things like Q and Admirals.
And from there, also, he was asking O'Brien if there's any way he could access old Cardassian files, because he doesn't really know a lot about Cardassian physiology, and he doesn't know anything about Garak's physiology either. So I think he wants to try to get some of that information.
Even in the future, it's really hard for the Geek Squad to reassemble your lost pictures.
That's right. And
2 to 3 weeks. Minimum.
Yeah, he says that he could maybe reconstruct it, but it would take a long time. And Bashir's like, oh, whatever. Fuck it. You know, if he would have had O'Brien do that in the beginning, maybe he'd have it all figured out by then.
Yeah, maybe. Although, I do like this episode. I don't know if it's the first episode that establishes it, but they're trying really hard to establish in this episode, or they're reiterating if they haven't said it before, that Deep Space Nine and Bajor work on a 26-hour workday. Because he tells the nurse something about, oh, I'll be, you know, we got to do something for 26 hours. And he says something about 52 hours, which is right, two Bajoran right. days. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. World building. Which you wouldn't even think about.
I just assumed he was there for 26 hours because it was a special case situation.
Nope. Bajor.
Brain injuries or kind of special?
Bajor actually has a 26-hour day. They referenced this in Nemesis? No, wait, not Nemesis. Insurrection, I think. I think Worf sleeps in. And because he's used to a 26-hour day instead of a 24-hour day.
Interesting. So, next, in Cork's bar, Bashir gets called over, and Garrick is really drunk at the bar. And Bashir is like, yeah, let's go get drunk at your in your quarters. And he's like, I like that idea.
I'll show you.
And then he says, but first let's stop at the infirmary. And he's like, you're not fooling me. And then he gets
special lube at the infirmary. This is why we gotta stop there. I gotta switch my doctor's kits, you see.
Oh, Garrick only has eyes for Bashir's. And from there,
it's really weird. The Kanara is blue, and in most of the series, Kanara is like a blackish brown color.
Maybe it's a different blend.
I don't know. It looks like a millennial. It's very blue.
So, anyways, they gets into a little bit of an argument there with Garrick and Bashir, and then Garrick starts just like. Falls to the floor with pain, with brain pain.
Brain pain!
And he collapses, and Bashir beams him to the infirmary right away.
Where's Cybok when you need him?
Exactly.
I'll take your pain.
I need my pain. So Garrick in the infirmary finds out that Garrick's brain has a machine in it, like an object, and he's not really sure what's there for. And when he brings Odo in, Odo... kind of thinks that maybe this might be a punishment device from the Cardassian government. So that's a possibility that they didn't know. And then he asks Odo if he can find out what Cork is up to, because he said they were talking. And Garrett was a little upset with Cork, and I really don't know what's going on. And Odo says, don't worry, I monitor everything from Cork, so...
And then Bashir's like, is this police state legal? Odo's very much like KGB, police state, always surveillance. This is good stuff. This is my kind of thing. Good thing he's a good moral guy, except for that.
Yeah, yeah, he's always like checking in. And doesn't Bashir say, do you do this to me or something like that?
He's like, do I need to?
As they're listening in to Quark's call to I think it's Bohica is how you pronounce it, but anyways, he's going to pay him latinum, but he says, I just want to get some information about some biotechnology. He goes, oh, that should be easy. He looks it up, and apparently this is super classified.
Super blacklisted.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm ruined.
I'm going to get killed. It would be great if he was assassinated on screen. Talishyar just, Obsidian Order just murders him right there.
That would be great. And so that's I don't know if this is the first time we hear the Obsidian Order, but
this is pretty early in DS9.
This is season two. End
of season two. I mean, they may have come up before, but if they didn't, Odo lets us know who they are.
Yeah, so Obsidian Order, obviously, is like you said, the KGB kind of black ops of the Cardassians.
Or they put bugs in everything. It's like the Cardassians are so much like the Russians in this episode, it's kind of scary.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's how much they do know. And so Cork obviously hangs up on him because that's not going well at all. And this is when Odo kind of gives a rundown of the Obsidian Order. It says they top even the Romulan Tal Shiar. So
they're more badass than Sela, guys. Just FYI.
If you needed to know.
Sela's, no, they're not. I'm blonde. I'm the only blonde Romulan.
And so he goes back to the infirmary and finds that Garrick is gone. And when Bashir tracks down Garrick at his quarters, he is he's shooting up with hypo sprays, trying to stop to alleviate the pain.
The pain.
Brain pain. And so Garrick he basically said something like an Algorian mammoth would did enough to anesthetize an Algorian mammoth.
How we must be made of firmer stuff. Want to see it in the butt?
Killing me. great. So anyways, Bashir basically tries to stop Garak from shooting up even more. And
this could kill you, man.
And he says he still wants the hypospray no matter what. And this is where he kind of breaks down what actually is going on, is that this device was in case he ever got captured, because he was part of the Obsidian Order, and that it would release endorphins into his brain. It's a
jizz in my pants button.
And he can, but because he was exiled to Deep Space Nine, and he complains that he's always cold, and the lights are too bright, and nobody likes him, he started giving himself endorphins just to make his life better. And
it was never meant for long-term use.
And it's now probably running out of the endorphins that it was injecting into him.
Bashir, did you know I had to use this thing 5 times extra every time I saw you? Just your face made me need to use this.
Because I hate you so much.
Just turn around and let me see that ass.
And this is this is where he's like, he just wants to die. He just wants to check out. This is where he wants to go. And Bashir is like, I'm not gonna let you do it. And this is where he tells some crazy story of how some kids were escaping from Bajoran kids or group of, I don't know if he said kids at this time, but Bajoran were escaped custody, and he was going to chase them down to a Cardassian shuttle, and then he said that he shot down the Cardassian shuttle. And
it's funny, in this conversation what stood out to me is he said mechanized infantry. So mm-hmm. Is this the word, the mech warrior planet? Did they have mech warrior on Bajor?
Mechanized could also just mean tanks and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, but it just made me think of mech warriors, like giant standing mechs. Yeah. Like
that would be cool, because we never see that in Star Trek.
No, we don't, but that thought popped into my head when he said mechanized infantry. I'm like, ooh, that sounds cool.
I know, there should
Mech Warrior. I want to see the Bajoran occupation now. That'd be a good movie. Mech Warriors.
Oh, jeez.
And concentration camps.
Yes, exactly. So he said that he references Elam as well, one of his friends.
First it's his assistant, and then it becomes his friend in the second story.
Right. He says, and he killed all, 97 Cardassians, and one of the daughters were from a prominent officials, and so he was exiled from our Cardassia. And Bashir is like, I don't really care what you did before. I'm just here to help you right now. Cause
I love you, Garak.
I love you. And so we start doing the old withdrawal syndromes, and Bashir's in his room. He's got, like you said, he's monitoring him, and he's just there the whole time. And they show him.
Odo wants to come in. He's like, I need to question him. He's like, I am putting him under medical lockdown.
He is not doing anything. So Garak wakes up in the middle of the night at some point, and he's crying and he's in pain. And Bashir
wakes
up.
Don't touch me.
And this is where he starts freaking out and destroying everything inside his quarters, smashing vases and
flipping tables.
And this is then. He changes his story a little bit, that he was the protege of the Sibian Order. What's his name? Tan? Tane?
Tane, yeah.
And he was part of the Obsidian Order, and he was sort of like the, I don't know if he was the heir apparent to that, but he was definitely in that, he was like his underling. And then he talks about how there was a group of Bajoran children, and none of them were older than 14, and that he was going to, he was supposed to get information out of them. They didn't know any information. They're just kids. And he just wanted to be warm, hot bath, and a good meal. And so he let them go. And Elam couldn't believe it. And then later on,
he reported him.
He reported him. So, and Bashir's like, so you did the right thing, right? So what's the big deal?
I lost everything because I was decent for the one time in my life.
Right. And then Garak goes into another seizure, and he hits the floor. And Bashir is now working on at him as well in the infirmary, and he's unconscious. And basically his lymphatic systems are not helping to his equalize his body, and he doesn't know much about it. So he's got to figure all this out. So this is where he decides that he's going to take a visit to Tane, the old, whatever you want to call it.
Head of the Obsidian Order.
head of the Simiar. Thank you. So, and just before that, Garrick wakes up and he basically, he wants to basically die. And Garrick also wants to have forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. He tells him another story on his on this bed.
Right.
Please forgive me.
Right. So is that now Elam was a friend of his and they were, like you said, members of the Obsidian Order. And
we became the sons of Tame.
Yes, exactly. And so there was a scandal about some released Bajoran prisoners, and there's rumors that possibly one of them would be blamed for it. And Garrick altered records and planted them to frame Elam. And Elam did the same thing, but Elam beat him to the punch, and Garrick took the fall for it. And that's how he became exiled. So this is the third different story we get of what happened to Garrick and how he became exiled.
Yeah, it keeps changing. I don't know how to keep it straight.
So, but he wants forgiveness, and you know, Bashir says, "I forgive you. Whatever you did,
whatever you did, it's fine with me."
So Bashir decides that he's going to go on the runabout, and he's going to go visit this Tain. And so he takes off.
I'll be back in 52 hours, which is two Jordan days.
I hope you don't die. And so when he gets to this Tain, and he makes a visit with him, Tain has a different viewpoint on Garrick and what he has to say about him. So first of all, Tain knows everything about Bashir and everything that's happening.
Knows
so,
his name, knows his favorite drink, knows he likes an extra sweet.
Knows which side he likes to sleep on.
Mm, yes. Which side to spoon on. He's definitely a little spoon.
Anyways,
even when he's with girls, he's little spoon.
Little spoon. Anyways, so he doesn't have I guess a winning or a favorable thing to say about Garrick. Garrick, he says that he probably should die.
But you're his friend. You'd be doing a service letting him die.
Yeah. Anyway, so he gives him the information he needs just for the Cardassian biochemistry that he would need to fix his lymphatic system. And he makes a strange, tells him that, because Bashir asks him about Elam, and he's like, that's his first name. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's great. And then he's so friendly at first, and he's like, GTFO, dude. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a shit, yeah. So Garrick is doing well, and we see next.
Elam, what did he cry, Elam? Garrick! Garrick!
So Bashir... Smeagol. Bashir is sitting alone at what's it called, Quark's. And
wishing he had a buddy to talk to for lunch. He's sighing.
And Garrick shows up and he's like, "What? You should be at bed rest." He goes, "I don't want to be in bed rest anymore." And then he's like, I have so many questions of what happened in the last couple of days." And he goes, you know,
it's better let's not talk about on it. So did Quark get you your condom measurer?
Yeah, and then he hands him a book, another Cardassian book that he might enjoy. So,
and then my favorite thing is like, what's true? It's all true. And he's like, what about the lies? Especially the lies. And that's just like one of my favorite lines of this episode. It's like, what? It's crazy.
This is a very interesting episode, I thought, because this is we get a lot about Garrick. Garrick's always really interesting, and he is so cryptic, and he's, you know, you never know what he's actually thinking. And the actor Andy Robinson does such an amazing job.
Amazing. With him. Every time Garrick's on screen, it's fantastic.
And he just brings, like, even though he's under all that makeup, he does awesome.
He emotes so well through it. It's incredible.
Dave, you want to just... do your takeaway from this?
First? Sure. I don't know. I've always been fascinated with this episode, just in general. I love his take on it. And like I said at the end, like the line where he's like, what about the lies? And he's like, especially the lies. Those are all true, too. And just like that line always kind of stuck with me in this episode. And like, you know, kind of made me think of every single thing Garrick says, even going forward. It's just like, what's going on with him? Because even his lies have like a ton of truth in them, supposedly. It's really crazy. So... like, I don't know, it's just one of the fun episodes where you kind of get some backstory, and it's such a well-done episode. Like, it's definitely Bashir and Garrick focused, but because Deep Space Nine is an ensemble show, you don't really notice you're, like, stuck looking at, you know, Bashir, because it probably switches to different people in different episodes, you know what I mean? Like, it's not always about one character, which is something I wish Star Trek would... start doing again, getting back that ensemble. And so it was super refreshing having like a Doctor episode, you know?
Right, right, right.
Getting to see that. And I don't know, just the actor who played Tame, he seemed so familiar to me. I can't place him. I was just looking at his IMDb. I can't figure out where he, but he sounds familiar and he looks kind of familiar too. So I'm like, But yeah, this is beautiful with that episode. Every time Andy Robinson's on screen as Garrick, it's absolutely amazing. He plays such a good, complex character. He's such a good character actor. Just, I mean, probably one of the best actors on Deep Space Nine, honestly, just emoting through all that makeup. And I don't know, I wish we got more Garrick. I wish he was like a build front actor and he was in more episodes, because he's just brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's a great episode.
And you know, it touches on some really interesting things. You've got, like, you know, Odo wanting to be, like, basically KGB. Hmm. Like, the entire Obsidian Order is basically the KGB with how much they are, how much of a surveillance state they are. You know, Garrick's book, The Never-Ending Sacrifice, whatever, sacrifice the state to the state to the state. I mean,
after... the never-ending sacrifice. Oh.
The final never-ending countdown.
Oh, no.
No, but it's just after watching Chernobyl, that HBO miniseries thing.
Yeah, I still get to watch that. I really want
to
watch
it. You really need to watch that. It's like everyone's like, to the state, and the KGB are everywhere. They're just dressed up as normal people, like following people around, tailing them. And it's like, what were you going to say? And then they just like intimidate people. It's like, oh, what were you going to say? And it's just like, it's crazy. And like, the Obsidian Order sounds so much like the KGB from like the 60s and 70s. It's so kind of scary and crazy to think about. Then, you know, this episode also, you know, we've got, like, you know, I hear, you know, Ben Kissel always talking about on his two podcasts where he's always like the opioid epidemic. And we've got Garrick, who's basically hopped up on his own opioid, you know.
Sure.
He's basically become an addict.
Yeah, so that's absolutely. Like
fascinating and really interesting. So this episode touches on lots of different things, which is kind of crazy and a little bit more deep than the last several episodes we've talked about, which is really refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Who wants to go next?
Holly, what about you? What did you think about this episode?
I don't have much to say. I mean, he's definitely secretive and closed off, and he makes up wild tales. And I know you're saying that it's a deep episode, but it doesn't seem like you can have really a deep relationship with somebody like that. And
absolutely not. There's no way. He'll never be true to you.
Exactly. So, like, it's hard for me to kind of even appreciate the episode as an episode, because it's, you know, he wasn't being a good friend. He wasn't, I don't know. I didn't care for it. But I did love the portrayal. So, I mean, I don't really have much to say about it.
You didn't identify with the brain pain?
Brain pain.
No.
We picked this episode because of brain pain.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the episode, Holly.
It wasn't a bad episode. It just the personality is more the what kept me from enjoying the episode. It wasn't the episode itself.
Oh, just that he's so erratic. Like you don't know who the real Garrick is.
Yeah, and I don't tolerate people like that. So well, I just didn't.
The thing is, though, with him is it's so interesting, because it's like sometimes I wonder if it's like a ruse, like something he's doing, or wonder if there's something like some like weird schizophrenic thing happening with him. You know, I just don't know. It's like so weird. Like his story has changed and
maybe he is.
I don't know.
I just thought it was interesting. I'm looking through the Memory Alpha right now. The Obsidian Order was originally going to be called the Gray Order, but the producers learned Babylon 5 was going to introduce a group called the Gray Council and felt the names were too similar.
And because those shows are so similar at the same time.
And the shows are also heavily similar. If you haven't watched Babylon 5, watch it. And note weird differences. It's they came out roughly the exact same time. I think Deep Space Nine had an edge where it came out first. But when you watch through it, like, it's eerily similar in certain ways.
Honestly, when Babylon 5 came out, I was like, are they ripping off Deep Space Nine, or is Deep Space Nine ripping off them? Because it was like they were so like within the same, like within maybe a month or so.
I swear, people on the production team had to be sleeping with each other on other sides of the production team, because like there was so much information going back and forth. Like, you know, in Deep Space Nine, they get like their own ship, and then the same thing happens on Babylon 5. Like they get a ship that they can go do stuff on instead of being stuck on the space station. Like it's very war-centric, very much like Deep Space Nine ends up becoming. I mean, Babylon 5 moves along quicker because it's only like 4 or 5 seasons, whereas Deep Space Nine was 7 seasons, but it's eerily similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would definitely recommend watching. It's a good science fiction. I really enjoy Babylon 5.
I have to rewatch it. It's been very, very long since I've watched it.
So. I rewatched most of it last year.
Yeah, I'll probably have to do that one of these days.
Maybe we should talk about it on the show.
That'd be fun.
When did you start watching it?
Yeah. Like I said before, I thought the Andy Robinson's portrayal of Garrick is just there's something so amazing when he shows up on screen, and like he's got all that crazy makeup on, and yet somehow he can still get you into
to believe him.
Yeah, like this is like he emotes through it. I don't know, it's really odd. There's a couple thoughts I have. One, Dave, you touched on it, was drug addiction and the opioid addiction. I've worked in a lot of different settings through my life. I worked in a lot of like trade works and, people, working construction site. And I've known during the crack epidemic, I know so many people who are on crack. Oh, yeah. It's not funny. I knew, and same thing with opioids. I've seen that over and over again. It's unbelievable how it changes. I've known people who've been hooked on cocaine, all sorts of things. So it's like, I really get it. It's you have a person that maybe you really, really do like as a person, but when that addiction kicks in, they completely change. They're not the same person anymore. And yeah. It's really bizarre. And it's like, and it rewrites everything in their brain. Like they only have one goal, is to get that drug again. And yeah. It does not stop. I mean, I know people do get off in drugs, they kick the habit, but some habits are harder to kick than others. So, I've known so many people that have struggled with this, and some people have gone to prison, some people have gotten really sick, and I've known a couple of people that gotten better, which is nice, but it's crazy. So yeah, I totally identified with that side of it. And like you said, the other thing I was thinking too, because Holly, you're saying like you don't like how Garrick, you just don't know where he is, like as a person. And I was thinking, if you grew up or you were raised in a state like Cardassian, so like think of like communist Russia.
Soviet Russia, yeah.
Or, Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and that's all the SS, basically.
And that's all you know? I don't think deep down you have a core. Maybe you do, but it's so suppressed, so you don't even, like, they were, like, was it, Odo said, like, City and Order would know exactly what you'd even eat. This is what if you ate something that wasn't accepted? It's like, it might disappear.
They said people have been killed for less, insane. KGB.
And if you know anything about Russia and communist Russian and Soviet history, totally happened. People just disappeared at night, and they would just take people away, and either they would be executed or they'd put into sent off to Siberia into the gulags, where they would just work hard labor for the rest of their life.
Mess you up.
So like you don't have a center line of truth in what is. It's like you have to like adapt. And like in you were mentioning, Dave, how in Chernobyl, how they have to toe the party line even when it's in the face of disaster.
Oh yeah, and people and it just was insane. People were just like, no, there's no graphite on the ground. It's impossible. The thing can't explode, and so like therefore there cannot be graphite on the ground. Like people were picking up pieces of graphite and just like getting burnt to death, like just by the pieces of graphite. And from all accounts, I mean, I've read several different things about it, and they said they tried to be as historically accurate as humanly possible, and they like put together this HBO like miniseries/documentary thing they did. It's really well done, and can't recommend it enough if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I gotta see it. I really do. I've had more than one people recommend me to see Chernobyl, so that whole idea of where you would just lie to yourself about even the most things, like the sky's blue, no, it's purple,
if it's against the state, you cannot say anything against the state. Where like you're raised in this way, so you're basically brainwashed, like everything is about the state. And how Garrick loves that book about this is the pinnacle of Cardassian literature, a book where this family is like six generations that are just live faithfully to the state, you know, denying thyself, and everything goes straight to the state. And it's just like, it's kind of frightening that that's the pinnacle of their authorship.
Right. Crazy. Exactly. And so I don't know. It's like it's weird. So that's part of me when I say schizophrenic. Maybe he's sort of having he's going with withdrawals. So he's obviously he's not in a clear mental state. So maybe he has a little bit of a schizophrenic crack up at this point where he's trying to tell Bashir some of the shitty stuff he did in his past. And but he can't come to terms with it, and so he makes up another friend, Elam, which is himself, but just, you know, seeing himself from the outside or something. I don't know. I just, you know, it's a fascinating like thought for like what, like, I don't know.
Where he's like,
you could find yourself in.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I didn't do all those things. He did. Elam did.
It's just like he's like rationalizing with himself. Like, basically, he's become a second personality on Deep Space Nine because he has to be. He can't be that person because that person has no role in Deep Space Nine. And if he acts like that person, he'd be in the brig. So he's just going to be a tailor and have his once a week date with Bashir on the promenade. And it's just, he's got to be this different person. Otherwise, he'll suffer worse for it. You know? So it's just like, that definitely does have like the Smeagol complex, at least in the way he's like telling his stories, where he's like telling them as two different people.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. It's aggravating. That's what I think is fascinating about the Garak character. The other thing is, this episode is really weird. It's like, it's a standard length episode, but it just seems a lot happens in it in a very short amount of time.
And so few actors.
There's no AB plots.
Oh yeah, no AB plots. Thank goodness, and no Jake Sisko, which is the most important thing about a Deep Space Nine episode. If it doesn't feature Jake, but then we can't do our Hey Dad segments. Then Hey Dad.
So yeah, I don't know. It is definitely interesting, and I feel for Garak. Garak frustrates me, and also the other side of it, which is, I guess, is good, is that, you know, Bashir is a really stand-up guy.
Yeah, it's great. And this is like, this is in his panty puller phase. In the first two seasons, where all he's doing is like horn dogging it. It's so refreshing to have an episode where he's like not panty pulling this episode.
What's so funny is that guy. As much as they try to pull that with him, like, other than him hitting on Dax, like, I don't see him doing anything else. Like,
I feel like he was like, when I rewatched Deep Space Nine the last time, I feel like he was like hitting on everything, especially Dax, but he'd hit on everything that had, you know, had a skirt on. I mean, it was annoying. And I think they were trying to write him off the show, and like, he actually became a really likable character like later on, but at this point I don't mind him. Like, in this episode, he's well written, he's good stand-up guy, he's not annoying. I mean, he's annoying to Garak probably because Garak doesn't want to see his face, but
sure,
this is a really good Bashir episode, and it's early season two, so I mean, like, that's incredible that there's a really good Bashir episode this early. Because he doesn't get super good, I think, for me, until like season three or four.
Yeah, right.
Especially when he starts playing around with O'Brien, that makes him really a lot cooler, because I love O'Brien.
Yeah, and then he becomes Prince Duran Martell in Game of Thrones. So
yeah, in a wheelchair. This episode, he does. He gets like two episodes for the entire run of Game of Thrones. I was so excited when they cast him, and then they didn't even use him. So I was pretty bummed that they barely showed him.
It was cool to see him again.
Oh, it was definitely cool to see him again. And then this episode, he's not Alexander Siddig. He's under his real name.
Oh, right.
Siddig Al Tane or something like that. I can't remember his actual name, but it was like, huh. I forgot that he has a different name in the early seasons.
Yeah, he's...
Would they call that a pseudonym?
Well, I think he just went with like a more Americanized name in later seasons, just so people would recognize it.
Oh man, if you actually look him up, his name, his born name is Siddig El Tahar El Fidel El Siddig Abraman Mohammed.
It's really long. So
it's really, really long. So he's from Sudan. So,
but I mean, like, it works that they, you know, he like went and shortened his name to Alec. He just Americanized his name just so it'd be easier to people. I'm sure as like Star Trek conventions were happening way back then, it was just really hard for people to say his name. So he's like, screw it, let's make an easy name people gonna pronounce. I mean, just as a, right. As an actor name, it just makes sense. I mean, like John Wayne's name wasn't really John Wayne. It's just like a name that's easy.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a stage name, right? Right. Yeah. A lot of people do that. Especially a lot of Jewish actors would change their names to be like to have that more, you know, whatever you want to call it, Americanized name. So.
Oh yeah.
Just sure. Say it. Accepted.
Well, yeah, it absolutely, especially during the time period. But, you know, mm-hmm. there was a lot of people that changed their names at that time. But, yeah, I'm glad you I know I've seen this episode, but I just don't remember it. I've seen it probably a couple of years back, now going 4 years, 5 years ago. I don't remember, but I know I've seen it. I really don't recall it. But I was like really happy I watched it because it's just the acting was superb, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is such a well done episode in all the ways. I mean, it's basically a bottle episode because they don't really go anywhere except for Tame's house. Yeah, he goes to Tame's, which is probably just a redress of some other set.
Some other set, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, and then otherwise it's all on Deep Space Nine, and it's just super compelling. Just like, it's, you know, Andrew Robinson just doing amazing things, and it's great. I mean, this is always probably one of my, I mean, not my favorite Deep Space Nine episodes, but it's kind of like Michelle Barrett. Every time she's like Laxana Troi, I just kind of love those episodes, even if they aren't great. There's just something about them that are just good, and I feel like that's how Garrick episodes are. Even if they aren't like the best episodes of a season, they're still really solid, like, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it was the only thing I could think about with Brain Pain. I mean, I guess we could have done Spock's Brain, but we've done a lot of TOS and Next Gen lately. And I feel like it's been a while since we've done Deep Space Nine, so...
Spock's Brain, such a goofy episode anyways.
Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't identify more with this episode, Holly. do we put you in pain? Do you have to press a button to make yourself feel better when you're talking to us sometimes?
She's like on her device. Calgon, take me away. Wow.
You guys are ridiculous.
That's our job, to be ridiculous.
Silly. Yeah, so anything else we want to talk about for this episode of whatever this, The Wire, not the TV show.
Why was it called The Wire?
Yeah, not The Wire, because that's a show.
Maybe because he's wired with
Yeah, he's wired, the thing in his head. It's all
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question why they call it The Wire. Just maybe because he's got that thing and it's stuck in his head, but...
Or, like, you know, because the Obsidian Order is, like, the wire, like, everything's wired, everything's bugged.
That's a good point.
A little bit of dual meaning there. Oh, but man, this is so refreshing not to have a B-plot in this episode. And just, like, do you think... just to connect to things in the future, do you think we'll have episodes like this in Picard or in Discovery Season 3?
I mean, obviously, they're going to focus more on just Picard, probably in the beginning, but who knows? I don't know. I don't think they will. And from I can tell from Discovery, they don't have these little moments. You know, it's like it's always advancing a bigger plot. So,
yeah,
although we're kind of going to unknown territory in the future, so maybe there's a little more breathing room.
I mean, so. I kind of hope so, but I mean, I think there's going to be too much that needs done. Michael Burnham has to single-handedly reunite the Federation of Planets in the future, so she can go back in time and rest assured that the future is safe.
You know, my issue too is like I like the idea that the episodes are, you know, are serialized and there's like a big overarching story that everything ties into. It is cool, but it's also sometimes nice just to have an episode where, you know, it's nothing connected, you know, like the Harry Mudd episode, you know, where it's like you could drop that out and maybe other than a few small points, you don't really need it. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was like the only one-off episode. But it just drove me nuts that it was there because Klingon War, where is it? This is supposed to be high stakes stuff. And it's just like, we'll sell you to the Klingons. We won't show them this episode.
I know.
I was just like, urgh. It's just, Discovery just has a lot of things that just frustrates me from like it's trying to tell a story, but it's doing everything it can to not tell that story. David Brain Pain. Discovery gives me brain pain.
Roll around on the ground.
Beam David to the emergency room. Brain pain.
Sure.
My catchphrase now. Brain pain. Brain pain. Discovery.
You're gonna be like eating some cold ice cream over the summer and go like brain pain.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's going to be what we're looking forward to. Lots of brain pain.
Maybe it'll get better.
God, I hope so. I hope so. I don't want brain pain. It's season three. Season three is when the show's supposed to get good, as seen by Next Gen, Deep Space Nine,
yeah,
and not maybe Enterprise, but Voyager, kind of, because we get 7 of 9 in season four.
Yeah, you know, as you're just, because you're pontificating on Discovery, I mentioned to you guys before we started recording that I had seen the first two episodes of the Star Wars Mandalorian, and I'm not going to give anything away.
We'll do that later when we talk about it.
But I was kind of comparing, contrasting the first couple episodes of Discovery with the Mandalorian, and it's like, it's funny because like they lean in heavy on their Star Wars universe. And so you see all the things that you don't have to set up the plot as much, because you're like, oh, I know what this is. I know what that is. You know, like just even visual cues, you know what they are. Mm-hmm. And so that's cool. And then secondly, it's like I said before, it's just a very simple plot. It's you know, he's a bounty hunter, and it's, you know, have gun, will travel kind of thing. And then I was kind of like, you know, back and forth between like the first two episodes of Discovery, and Discovery was just so over the top, and the story was so, like, you know, there's so much happening, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's crazy. And like, but it seemed like Discovery did not lean on the past that they could lean on.
They couldn't,
maybe because they didn't have it. But
they didn't have a past to lean on because they made it a prequel to the original series.
Well, they had Enterprise. Obviously, that was like 100 years before. Yeah, but
that's a huge gap to, like, you can't really lean on that big gap. So they had to like reestablish things, and then Vulcans do new magic things. They can give you part of their Katra to make you a near dying person be alive, and then they can do FaceTime with Katra.
Yeah,
across the universe, like it's just like okay, Vulcans are even more magic than they.
I know.
Than they
used to be. I know. There's definitely a lot of stuff. It's funny to me is that the Mandalorian. What works about it is, I mean, it's pure action adventure. There's nothing more to it. I mean, maybe it'll advance over time, but it's just straight ahead, and it's fun, and like I said, visually beautiful to watch. But it's just a simple thing, and it's just like, and it, like I said, it leans on the setup universe that's already there, and I kind of feel like they could have still leaned on some of those things. Like, you still have like the same types of aliens, the same type of universe. Obviously, there was Klingons, but they've changed the Klingons radically. So, I mean, it's weird. So, it's odd to me, just like putting them two and contrasting them together. Like, where the definitely Discovery was a lot more smarter than the Mandalorian, but they kind of like threw away like all the past setup universe.
Get rid of the past. Kill it if you have to. Oh wait, that's Last Jedi.
Yeah, and they just kind of reimagined a lot of the stuff, which, you know, some stuff does need to be reimagined, probably.
I mean, you can do reimagining right, you can do it wrong. Discovery does it both, whereas they reimagined the Tellarites a little bit, and it makes sense. They're pigs, and they made them like more boorish and like pig, you know, right. You know, boar pig.
Yeah, like, and the Andorians look great,
and that fits. I mean, it fits. And there's, I think they established an Enterprise, there's five or six different sexes of Andorians, so maybe it just looks different because it's one of the different sexes. It's got little points on its face, like, whatever, that's fine. But the Klingons were such a drastic departure.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I know, Laurel's got a cone head in season one, and now she's got a regular head in season two. Like, what happened to her head? Maybe that head is just like holding their hair. Maybe they weren't bald. Maybe they were just wearing these like really elaborate beanies.
Maybe they had brain pain.
Brain pain, yeah. Brain pain beanies, and they're just like, all their hair is like making the stuck in that beanie, which makes their head look like a cone head.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just really weird. Like,
I don't know. It's weird to juxtaposition the both of them together. And I was just thinking about it after I saw them, and I was like playing around in my head with both of them. And, you know, Discovery did a huge feat, and To CBS's credit, you know, they decided they're going to launch this thing and try to take off. And, you know, I don't think Star Trek will ever reach the numbers that Star Wars reaches.
Disney Plus has just got a huge advantage of, like, having a plethora of things so many people love. All the Marvel movies, all the Disney movies, all their other movies.
They have all the money. So
yeah, but yeah, they do. They do, but they have so many. So I mean, like, just because they have all that access opening up, yeah, all those movies on there, like that instantly, like, jump them up way above CBS All Access, because CBS just has their back catalog of like old TV shows.
Yeah,
no, I know. So I mean, like, maybe The Mandalorian wasn't the number one driver of subscribers to CBS. I mean, to Disney Plus, but maybe, you know, it's going to get crazy high viewership just because it's there, along with everything else people have.
It's definitely their first entry to get people interested. That's for sure.
I don't know. So, I was interested in the classic cartoons.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And that's a whole nother side of it too. And just that, Holly. Like, for me, all the Simpsons episodes, because they bought that with a Fox purchase or whatever.
Oh my gosh, they have everything.
They have all the Simpsons. They have obviously all the Marvel. I mean, it's pretty everything, pretty amazing.
Everything's on.
One thing they don't have that bummed me out was I believe ABC produced Pirates of Dark Waters.
Oh, you mentioned that. Who did make that? ABC?
I think it was ABC. I think it was on ABC Network.
But ABC is a subsidiary of Disney. I wonder why it's not on there.
Exactly. I don't know why it's not on there.
Do you have the the DVD set or whatever that
no.
is?
No, it's hard to find. I think I found a set online on like eBay, and it was like hundreds of dollars. And I was like, Pirates I can't really justify this.
Pirates of Dark Water was produced by Hanna-Barbera, created by David Kishner, first aired 1991. I do remember this. I did love this series. Mm-hmm. And it was on Fox Kids.
Oh, Fox. Well, they own Fox, don't they?
They do. So they do it might Fox. Be in their vaults. No, wait, no. I'm sorry. Fox Kids, early 1991, and the first season consists of 13 and aired on ABC. The second season consists of 8 episodes and was part of the Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera.
Hmm. That was part right.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's crazy. I didn't know that.
Well, CW is a subsidiary of CBS, and CW shows aren't on CBS All Access. So that sucks.
And David Kishner, who created it, did the American Tail with Fievel the Mouse.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And also he was behind Child's Play with Chucky.
Oh, I want to see it. I want to see an American Tail Chucky crossover.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Sure, why not?
Why not? Come on, get on it, Kishner.
Add it to the list.
Get on it, Kishner. But yeah, I haven't seen The Mandalorian yet. I'm hoping to catch up soon because I would love to talk about this show because it looks really exciting.
Yeah, very different show.
And you like Star Wars.
Sometimes you like Star Wars.
I like Star Wars in theory. It just in practice, it's been terrible with the movies. But Jon Favreau, who's working on The Mandalorian, I trust him way more than I trust Rian Johnson.
I do love him.
Jon Favreau's amazing. He's a really stand-up guy from what I can tell in different things. He seems like he's a really friendly guy. I loved his take on Iron Man. He did such a good job. I love him as Happy in the Iron Man films and the Avengers films and Spider-Man films. He's great. And he seems to really understand the nerd genre. And I just, you know, I mean, from Aaron, you seem to think Mandalorian's good. I just don't know why they don't throw him a Star Wars movie. Because it seems like I would trust him to do better on a movie than Rian Johnson.
I know.
Or J.J. Abrams, for that matter.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it might
they
be...
They could want to push films, and he may not be available to make them at this time.
Maybe.
That's true. And as we've seen with the Marvel stuff, like if you watch Daredevil or what's her name? Escaping me at the moment.
Jessica Jones.
Like those were some of the fantastic Marvel properties that were on Netflix. And the storylines were so great. And they and you could tell a longer story arc. You know, because you had 10 episodes or whatever it was. So you technically have a 10-hour movie.
And the Punisher was so good.
Oh, Punisher was great, too.
Punisher was good.
I haven't seen season 2 yet, but season 1 was great.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe Favreau is, like, smart and says, you know what, I could try to encapsulate everything into, like, a 2.5-hour or 3-hour movie, but...
I could also
do an 8-hour series and... It still look like a movie, and people still love everything about it. So
sure, I mean that's great too. But I want Star Wars movies to be good again. Make Star Wars movies great again.
I know, right?
Please, so, for the love of God.
So, hopefully. But we'll see, obviously, because we got the next episode coming up. So, anyways, so that's cool. So, we get to look forward. Hopefully, we'll be talking about The Mandalorian soon.
But next week is the week of Thanksgiving, so we're going to be thankful about Star Trek.
Yeah, what are we thankful for? So, we're going to compile a list, and we're going to talk about what we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So get your list of what you're thankful for Star Trek. So anything else, ladies and jelly spoons?
Jelly spoon. I'm going to be jelly. All over the Andy Robinson.
What?
All over that Garrett.
Garrett.
Jelly spoon and gotcha. Yeah, I think that's it. This was The Wire.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed definitely watching it and very interesting.
I think this is the best episode we've covered in like a month or two. This was a really good episode.
It was fun to talk about, for sure.
Why don't we do more Deep Space Nine?
I don't know.
Deep Space Nine's great.
Well, anyways, thank you so much for downloading our episode and listening to us. We really appreciate it. You can find our show at Synthaholics.com. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Yahoo.
You can also join us at the Facebook group, Facebook group/Synthaholics. We have a lot of people, friends, and people, listeners that join in and talk about whatever is on their mind. So join that group. And also you can tweet at us at Twitter. You can go to Synthaholic Duo and tweet at us there. And you can follow us there as well. And as always, if this show is something you appreciate and you like it and you want to support us, you can go to our Patreon, Patreon.com/Synthaholics, and throw us a couple bucks. We definitely appreciate that. And as always, another great way to support the show is to tell your friends, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your mom and dad. Doors.
Don't be creepy, though, but you know, a little bit creepy is okay.
Exactly. So be a little creepy, but not too creepy.
Not too creepy, yeah. There's a fine line.
Yes. But yeah, so sharing the episodes and sharing by social media or just telling people at word of mouth is a wonderful way.
Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, wherever you spread your social media-ness, spread it wherever you can.
Absolutely. So Dave and Holly, great to talk with you. I really appreciated just talking about brain pain.
Brain pain.
And Holly, I hope you feel better with your brain pain.
Yes, Holly. Mm-hmm. We hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can turn your TV off of completely dark.
That's why she likes Pirates of Dark Water. It's like, it's not so bright. I can see all
right. I can wear a patch on both eyes.
I don't know. There's a friggin' hot pink and green outfit on the chick pirate.
Yeah, oh. She did. She did that, didn't she? I gotta see that.
It's a pretty bright show.
I haven't seen that show in so long. I gotta see it again.
I think you can get episodes on YouTube.
Is Dino Riders on CBS? I mean, Disney Plus.
Dino Riders.
Do you remember that show?
I don't think I saw it.
I do remember Dino Riders. It's been a while.
I want that to become back as a gritty reboot.
Oh boy. Well, everyone, until we get Pirates of Darkwater remake and Dino Riders as a gritty remake, we'll have to wait. And we will talk to you about that when that happens, for sure.
Absolutely, if it ever happens. Right.
Well, thank you for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit up. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Woo! We did a Deep Space Niner. We did. It's been a while.
Niner, Chicken Diner.
I don't remember last one we did.
God, it's been a long time. I feel like the last one I remember
was a Dax episode.
Was it Dax?
Yeah, Spotting Dax.
It's been a while.
Because the last one I really remember doing was with Duchess, but that was like over a year ago.
And oh my God, that was so long ago.
I know we've done more with that, because that was another Garrick episode, the one where they went to Impoknor.
Yep. I remember. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Spotting Dax. It's been a long time. I forgot about Spotting Dax. Tennessee Midnight. Tennessee Midnight sounds way better than just Tennessee. Tennessee Midnight.
That's like a full name. That's a good full name.
Yeah. Tennessee Midnight O'Brien. And it's
TMO.
TMO, and like it's like a booze hound. You gotta get like the little like Saint Bernard thing. You gotta stick like the booze thing around its neck, and then you can like revive people with alcohol. Okay.
I had a guy I did some work for. He owns a big like painting company here in the area, and he has one of those Saint Bernards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy fuck, those are big dogs. It's like massive. It's like a bear.
Yeah.
They're that big. And he was a big, friendly dog, wouldn't hurt anybody, just a big do-do-do-do-do, but I mean, enormous. I can't imagine the food that dog eats, and the size of its shits must be enormous.
You need whole shovels. You need a show schnovel to move that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're hairy, so you have to clean their hair.
Oh yeah,
their butts.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I had a squirt off my dog's butt once last week.
Did you listen to the last podcast? We talked about combing his dog's butt.
Yes, today? I didn't comb it, but he just had a little messy and got a little bit on his fur, and I was like, ugh. And I was like, so I brought him in, and my dog's so small right now, I can just pick him up, and I was like, all right, squirt in the hose, pss, pss, you know, get it off, and.
No cheese.
Because
of the farts.
Yeah, no cheese. Porthos. That's why Porthos was all bound up.
That's why Porthos is dying.
Because Captain Archer kept on giving him cheese.
Captain Archer can't say no to the puppy dog eyes. If only Zindi had puppy dog eyes, then he'd be friendly again. I know, he'd be like,
okay, blow up the earth.
Blow up the earth. I'll give you some cheese, too, while you're at it.
Yeah. I was crazy. It's true though. He's a sucker for that. Yeah.
If only that would have been the best twist if Porthos was the Zindi. Oh my god.
I thought you were gonna say cheese.
Porthos was a giant piece of cheese. He was never real.
That's why he needed cheese. He needed to assimilate it.
Yeah, that's right. A cheese monster. So I was listening to, you know, that song, that Bush song from the 90s, Zen? Everything's Zen. I can't
pick it up out of my head, no.
I can't either.
I mean, I know who Bush is.
Right. That was one of their first songs, I think it was. Anyways, you know, the line is that there's no sex and violence. You know, there's no sex and violence. Anyways, there's a line that says, I don't really believe
that. Really, they haven't seen S&M or 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, there's a line in it that he says, I don't believe that Elvis is dead. And I was thinking, like, nobody talks about Elvis still being alive anymore. And then I put the calculations in, and Elvis would technically be 84 years old right now.
If he was still alive.
If he's still alive. Jeez. So, I don't think he's alive anymore.
He's probably maybe dead for real. Unless the aliens rejuvenate him, and made him look young.
Remember the old Hulk TV show with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby?
Yeah.
Bill Bixby did like a whole like special, I remember, like in the 80s, saying like evidence of that Elvis was really, truly alive.
Elvis is the best Elvis impersonator out there.
It was really interesting. So it was like such a thing. Like everybody was like, you know, I saw Elvis. And stuff. Like, oh man, this is.
Big Tupac conspiracy too.
Is there people talking saying they see Tupac?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple years ago.
It's holograms.
Holograms.
No, a couple years ago, somebody took a picture of someone and they swear it's Tupac and. It was just a conspiracy theorist, but it was, I think the photo was faked anyway, but
you know, almost everyone has doppelgangers, right?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cause yes. I saw this thing, like it was like all these famous doppelgangers, and there was like an Indian or like Russian, like George W. Bush. Where, like, his skin was completely different, but it looked exactly like his face.
The
facial structure
skin was different.
Yeah, his skin was completely different, but it was like he looked just like and other people like that, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, like, yeah, people will see someone who looks like Tupac because it just everyone's got a doppelganger. There's so many people and there's so many ways you can put the human face together.
When I was really, really young, like I was like 18 years old, people used to stop me in the street all the time and say that I look like James Dean. Like, they literally would stop me and was like, people I would know and just be like, you know, you look like a lot like James Dean. I was like, thank you. you know, and that was.
Thank
but
you.
But yeah, so might have confused some people that maybe James Dean was still alive, but
maybe. Yeah, it's just silly. People get way out of hand about some things, and it's just, I don't know, like, there's doppelgangers. I mean, people say I look like Svengoolie.
Svengoolie?
Yeah.
Back
when my hair was long and I had a beard, people say I look like Svengoolie.
Oh my god, Svengoolie. I used to love watching him. He's great.
Yeah, I never seen him. I just looked at pictures of him, so people
say... Oh, you never seen him? He's got, like, that... I think he's out of Chicago. He does like a cable access of all these like horror movies, and he just kind of like makes fun of the movies.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen him, but I've looked at pictures of him because people have said I look like him. So I wanted to know. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of see it. Sort of.
He's goofy as hell, but he's funny. Sometimes it's a little too like, okay, you're getting really like just corny shit. But I mean, it can be fun. So.
Nice.
I didn't see any Star Trek news.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I did see the first two episodes of The Mandalorian.
Oh, we gotta talk about that soon.
I talked to Robbie. He said you only saw the first episode, and I said, well, maybe if we want to talk about the first three, like kind of lump them all together.
Yeah.
He said he'd be up for that. I mean, if you want to try to squeeze those in during that time.
I'll squeeze them in.